In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. As I was reading through the lessons for this week, I was reminded of one of the many jobs I've held in my lifetime. Some of them I had worked for the same company and did many different jobs while working for the same company. One of my jobs years ago was working on Xerox engineering copiers. Now, I don't know if copiers run a little better now in the digital age than they used to, but probably still not as well as the mimeograph machine. That thing almost never failed, right? As long as you didn't mind purple fingers. But the concept being, at the time I worked on engineering copiers, these machines are 3 feet wide. So you can imagine the problems you had with a little 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. Imagine that was something that is 3 feet wide. So these things had problems. And the sheets that you fed through them were 24 by 36. They copied blueprints. And the concept of 24 by 36 inch paper in Southwest Florida and moisture made it even more fun. So clearing a jam could be quite a thing. So, and times, the machines were just malfunctioning in such a way you had no idea what to do with it. You couldn't put it back to what it was supposed to be doing. So we followed a process that we called baselining the machine. So you'd come in and you'd take apart each module of the machine and you would clean it and you would repair anything that looked worn. And then you'd put it all back together and you'd hook your very expensive little meter up to it and you'd run it through all these paces and balance out all the electronics in the machine. And 99.9% of the time, once you did that, the machine ran beautifully. And you had no idea why. Now, once in a while, it didn't, because after all, it's a copy machine. And if you really needed it, there was nothing you could do, because they never run when you really need them. So we would baseline the machine, and the machine would go back to doing what the machine was supposed to do. And as I was reading the lessons this week, I was really drawn to Exodus. And I thought, oh, this is a perfect example. The Ten Commandments. Always good to hear the Ten Commandments, most especially in the midst of Lent. But John Durham, a theologian, wrote that they are the fundamental principles for living in relationship with him, him being God, of course. The interesting thing about the Ten Commandments, we hear it immediately in verse 1, chapter 20. Then God spoke all these words. So if you go back to chapter 19, the Israelites are being consecrated and prepared for this moment at Mount Sinai when they are going to actually hear from God. They're going to hear from God. Keeping in mind they were exiles, right? They were in captivity in Egypt. They had been led out of Egypt into the wilderness, a place we're sharing with them as we walk through Lent. But they had been in Egypt in captivity for so long, they just looked like Egyptians. They followed the system of community. They worshiped Egyptian gods and deities, idols, whatever you may call it. They just looked like Egyptians. They no longer looked like God's chosen people. So as God has led his people out into the wilderness, his role at this point is, how do I get them back in line? So this is where the Ten Commandments come in. How do I set them apart? How will people know they are my people? So we look at the Ten Commandments. They're broken into actually a bit of a section. So the first four are in relation with God, our relationship with God. I am your Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other God before me. Number one. Number two, you shall not make for yourself an idol. Number three, you shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord, your God. Number four, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Those are the first four. This is in relation to our relationship with God. The other six speak to our relationship with one another and the way in which we live in community. So when we get to number 5, honor your father and mother, always a good one, I think, don't you think? Yeah, okay. Number 6, you shall not murder. 7, you shall not commit adultery. 8, you shall not steal. 9, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And number 10, you shall not covet. And I just have to share with you how difficult it is not to tell you the verses and actually name them 1 through 10. Because I almost did that almost every time. The fact of the matter is this. Interesting. Why did this matter to me today or this week? Well, we live in a very peculiar time. And as I was reading through this, I noticed Commandment 1 is really very short. Commandment 2, you shall not make for yourself an idol. God then states, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth, you shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of their parents to the 3rd and 4th generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the 1,000th generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. Then we get to number 3. You shall not make wrong use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. That's all he has to say. Number 4. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7th day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the 7th day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Has a lot to say, doesn't he? Kind of like this, have no other idols, or have no idols. The Sabbath day seems to be a big thing. By the time we get to 6, 7, 8, and 9, they're like one sentence. But I don't know how much more you could say is do not kill, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal. I mean, it's pretty obvious. Not much to elaborate on. But I find it interesting as God is addressing his people in the wilderness who have been struggling in captivity. He is very, very detailed on 2 important things. Not that the other 8 commandments aren't important, but how important it must have been to focus on the concept of not having idols and keeping the Sabbath day holy and consecrated, holy to the Lord. And again, you're thinking, what's the big deal? Well, I don't know how you all are feeling, but I think some of us maybe have felt like they've been in captivity. Amen? Maybe some people are still feeling captive. And the problem is when we are in captivity, just as the Israelites were in captivity, we fall into the patterns of being captive. Whatever is happening in the space where we are, we follow the pattern. God, through his commandments, are trying to shift the patterns of his people back toward him. And as we sit here now, and as your leadership is looking into where the church is today, the church whole, and the church holy innocence specifically, we are recognizing that some of our people are still in captivity, so to speak, but many are able to come out again, thanks be to God. But things are changing. Is the church ready to function in this understanding? Becomes the question. How do we do it? What do we do? How do we help people? And as I've read through these commandments this week in preparation for this morning, I thought, we need to baseline the church, brothers and sisters. It's pretty simple. Know who your God is. Have no other idols, whatever they may have become. Even if your idol is being able to watch church on TV in your slippers with a cup of coffee, if there is something coming before God and something that is interrupting your opportunity to worship God the way we've been called to worship him, we need to stop and think, what is this thing? Now, some of those things can be dealt with. Some of them cannot. And we understand that. Some people will have to remain as they are online, and hopefully you are with us now. And we understand that. But as our world begins to reshape itself, we, as the church, need to first recognize, where are my priorities? Do I understand and know? Am I confused? Am I discouraged? Am I still struggling? And if that's the case and you really can't put your finger on it, baseline your faith. Baseline your faith. Know who your God is. Remove whatever idols may have crept in as you've been living in this world other than the one you're used to. Reprioritize and set apart the Sabbath day. Make it holy unto God. I don't think we're struggling with murdering and adultery at the moment, so I think we're okay. But don't do those either. But when we find ourselves in peculiar times like we are, and we're just not sure what to do, let's be honest. Some of us aren't even sure of our own feelings some days, amen? But the one thing remains true. God is God. He hasn't changed. He has not been quarantined. He has not left. He has not stepped away from his people. He still, through his word and through his church, is calling out and saying, come to me. And through the body and blood of Jesus Christ, which we go through this process in our Eucharistic feast each week, receiving the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, we are reconciled to him. And if we're struggling and we can't figure out why, or we don't know what's going on, maybe we'll never know fully why we feel like we feel. But the one thing we can know for sure is God is God. And just as he reached out to the Israelites as they were wandering in the desert, still trying to shake off, or maybe not trying at all, quite likely, to shake off this tendency to turn to idols that they learned while they were in captivity, this tendency to not think about the one true God whom has set them apart to be his people, and started to chase after other gods and began to potentially even worship them in some fashion. When God reached out to them, it was to draw them back to him. He's still doing the same for us today. So if you have been struggling, as many have, myself included, let's baseline our faith. It's not that difficult. It may not explain everything you're feeling. It may not give you every answer that you think you want, but what it might do is put you back firmly on the understanding of your faith and who it is you worship, and draw you nearer to him in your life, in your priorities, and in your love of him and one another. And some of us will struggle more than others as the church, brothers and sisters. When you see someone out there who can't seem to regroup, this isn't new, is it? God's people have been held back by the circumstances of the world, but we, the church, don't have to be. So when you see others struggling, simply say, come and see. Let's go back to the basics. Know who God is. Remove any idols that may have come between you and your worship and understanding and following of him in your life. And set apart the Sabbath and make it holy unto God. From there, we will walk closer with him. And from there, we will know how to move by the power of his Holy Spirit to be the church today. Amen.